Okay, we'll come out of recess. It's 10:02 a.m. We're on road and bridge updates.
Morning, gentlemen. Currently at the start off with what we currently have closed during the flooding is five roads I have listed there. And all of these are due to Bull Shoals lake level. Barker Hole, Slough Hollow, Forsyth, Taneyville, Devil's Tea Table, and Strawberry. And as the lakes drop, we'll open them as they get to them levels and do cleanup on them. As far as our ongoing chip seal and patching, we've completed 26 miles of our approximate 60-mile list. We're a little bit behind on that because of the weather and storm-related stuff. We had to go back and repair a lot of places due to flood damage. Same thing with the chip seal. But we are trying to gain on that. Whether we can complete our list by the fall, we're hoping to, but it all depends on the weather. The fall cleanup, we want to schedule that for October 3rd, and that'll be a one day on a Saturday, generally what we schedule. And then that will allow us the time the next week or so to get the yard cleaned up, depend on what we get, and we never know from spring to fall. Generally, it's lighter in the fall, but depending on the amount we get, it gives us a week to get it cleaned up to then schedule possibly the auction if needed. October 1st, which will be that Thursday previous to that, is when we want to schedule our snow rodeo, and that's a yearly event we try to do. Hopefully we'll have a good turnout this year. We've already had vendors asking about our snow rodeo. So,
has there been any conversation with Christian County? I know MoDOT was interested in the snow rodeo as far as participation.
I haven't contacted other counties. We have in the past tried to contact them to see if they would have any interest, but that was several years ago. I mean, I haven't in the last 2-3 years. But
I know Christian County had voiced that they might be interested, even if they just came down and watched to see how we put it on or something. They might want to do that. You might contact the Road and Bridge Department up there and maybe their commission. I don't know that they would participate as a unit with ours, but it may get into a situation where we have competition among ourselves that they might want to compete in something. I don't know, but that's what they were. They showed interest in doing that. And I know MoDOT, some of the boys from MoDOT has talked about that.
We can definitely invite them. I mean, as far as
I think it's a good deal. It's turned out to be a better way to judge who needs to be put where, what roads on a grade level that somebody needs to be stuck on, and who knows how valuable that is as far as saving somebody from an accident or something. So I didn't mean to get way off on that, but it did. So
The next item, got an aerial photo, and this, Devin had brought this to me. We've had a citizen that lives at this residence, and it's the one on the north side of the end of Jasmine, where the turnaround's on the south side. There is a culvert. I'll have to mark. I didn't mark one there. There is a culvert that the developer put in when he built it that runs from this point and empties at this point down here. And I don't know if you can see that very good on the aerial. Empties right there. We've got a hole currently right in that area there. And it's about a, what would you say, 4 foot round?
Yeah, at least.
And about 4 foot deep. The hole is right about there. There's where the culvert ends, and it starts over here, drains this draw right here. What I've looked at appears to be when the thing was installed, the culvert was installed, it a big rock or something had punched a hole in it, and over time, it just cavitated and opened under the fill there, and then with recent rains, it just fell in. Problem is, it's off the right-of-way, and we've run into them situations before, but the resident was concerned. They didn't know what to do to repair it. But what they'll have to do is just remove that damaged section and have it replaced.
I'm confused.
Well,
developer put it in.
The developer put it in. I mean, it's not on our right of way. I mean, we've had this situation before. We run into where they've added on, put extended long culverts in, built homes, sold them, and then the resident has got a yard that sits in there. We run that in an area up in Whitetail. We run into the same thing with problems with culverts that we have no access to, or it's way beyond the right-of-way. We have to go way down in the yard to access the end of them.
Yeah, but we don't.
And that,
I don't know how we handle this. I don't think that we shouldn't be getting too far. If it's something that we have caused, then I don't know how we handle this on new roads that are taken into the county. Or is this a P&Z situation where they shouldn't be allowed to build?
There's no, it's a homeowner. I mean, I'm assuming it's their property.
It's their property now. I mean,
there's a culvert going through my backyard. I'm not going to call you guys and have you come and fix it. If something happens to it, I'm going to fix it. Right?
Correct. I mean, I can't go off right away. So.
Now, you guys came up to my property line and fixed that issue, but then I took it all the way through.
Right.
So how is this different?
Has the homeowner approached you about this?
Well, they've called in. They've got a hole in there, and they don't know what to do or what's caused it. We went out and looked at it, and we know the cause. I mean, it's something when the road was constructed and houses built, they just put in an extra long culvert to make room to build a home. Otherwise, it would be a natural drainage ditch right there.
Well, once we get off of our right-of-way, I don't know that we should be trying to do anything.
Okay.
It should be a... I don't know, on Whitetail, we didn't do anything out there.
We didn't go off the right-of-way. We were just trying to help with runoff. If runoff from the roadway, but this was a drainage culvert that was installed when they designed the road.
We didn't install it, correct?
We didn't install it, no. It was already there.
Now let me ask you this. Do we have any requirements to say how they have to fix it? They can't just fill it in. They wouldn't want to, but...
I mean, that part of the damaged culvert is going to have to be replaced. I mean, I can give them suggestions, but that's...
That's my question, though. Do we need to be careful? Because then, well, we're just going to fill it in then.
Well, depends on what they do. Would probably cause us problems later if the culvert floods, because then we're going to have problems with the roadway and turnaround. So.
But then they'd be changing the course of the water flow, and that's a whole separate legal issue.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there's probably nothing we can do.
I'll go visit with them and give them some ideas and suggestions.
Where is Jasmine Road? Is that up E-76?
Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah, you turn on the Saints and
good.
Jasmine comes off the Saints.
I'm getting back to what I had said earlier. Is there any regulations in P&Z that keep from having extended culverts like this without some kind of permitting issue?
Probably not.
I don't know that there's anything in there relating to this, but there should be something put in there as far as extending culverts without proper clean out or access. That's one of the problems we run into. There's no way to access.
I think we need to.
These culverts, and this one's going to be getting close to 80, 90 feet, maybe even more in length.
I tell you, the solution to this is before we take a road in, we look at this type of situation like happened to Whitetail this last winter, like happened here, and we don't take the road in until that issue's been addressed. On extended culverts, we can't see that it's going to have a problem, but we do know that extended lengths of culverts cause problems, and so if they have an extremely long culvert or water issue, then it'd be addressed before we take the road in.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I'll talk with Mr. Atchley also on P&Z to research that as far as future.
All righty.
Next item I want to talk about some bridges, and the first one I laid two items there in a kind of a drawing. This is a cost estimate for replacement of the bridge structure on Sycamore Church, where we currently have a low water structure that got damaged during the flooding. We had Great River Engineering take a look at this, and he gave us two proposals there as far as replacement, one being a box culvert type structure, which has a cost of the $210,066. The other one is a two-span bridge type structure. And the bridge structure actually can handle the more flow, and that cost is $280,366. The bridge span structure is a similar type structure that we put in on a previous structure we've done at Pro Tem Cedar Creek. It's that same type design as far as a structure replacement. Either way we go here, we're going to have to mitigate this with FEMA, because this is one of the damaged areas that is on their list.
Does it, and I forget, does that go back to you can't improve it, you can just repair or replace it?
They want to replace what's there, but you can also mitigate, because a lot of times you have to have engineering involved, and best case scenario for replacement, you can mitigate additional costs for a different structure, and that's where we need this engineering firm to help us as far as the mitigation. We're not going to get total cost replacement, but we can get more than what we've got estimated now just to replace the damaged concrete on the current one.
And what about the, like our soft match funds or our bro funds? Does this qualify for any of that? Or we better using it?
This, I'm not sure if that would apply on this. We could check on that to see how much of this would apply toward that. We can get soft match credit for anything, any bridge structure we do. We can apply and accomplish that. We also can do that on that previous structure that we done in Pro Tem Cedar Creek, which we didn't. We can apply and get soft match credit monies for that. So.
Okay. Are you needing to know which direction we're needing to go? When do you need to know bridge versus culvert?
Fairly quickly, where we can go ahead and continue with engineering, but once we get we'll have to deal with FEMA and SEMA and everything on this, making sure all the proper documents, but we'll have to have something and also have them help mitigate when we get to that point. They haven't had their kickoff meeting as far as it's been declared, but
we've still got to fix it. How do you want to fix it?
Yeah. I have to know something different than this. I need to know whether you think that we are to go ahead, Randy, with the box culverts, or if you think that this situation out there where it's at would be better off with the bridge structure.
With the creek and the experience we've had with it, I would prefer the two-span structure. You would it's going to be more development happening out there in the future. There's already some out there up on the hill, so there's more traffic. That's going to continue to increase, and we'll get a better result with the bridge rather than the box. With the debris that comes down these creeks, you're going to have a little bit more of a maintenance issue with the box culvert. Now, this is fairly big box culverts. These are 15-foot wide type, but the height isn't. We're trying to keep the elevation of the structure, whether it be a bridge or a box, fairly low to handle as much water under it, but it's still water at times is going to overtop. These flows are done on a 2-year basic event. So it's not going to be a bridge structure that will carry the entire creek. You're talking a really big number there to do that type of structure.
Now, is this a job that we would do, or is this something we would bid out?
This is something that we can do with our forces.
So it'd actually be a little less, because like mobilization, $12,000, we wouldn't.
Correct.
Have
now, all these costs are basically contractor costs.
Okay.
It'd be fairly similar. Most of it's a precast. The deck and everything on it would be a precast. The only thing we'd have to put there would be the abutments in the pier, and then the rest would be set pretty much with a crane and hauled in. It's a precast, similar to what we've done Pro Tem Cedar Creek Bridge.
But like the mobilization, the removal of the existing structure, and the excavation, that'll all be?
That'll all be by our forces.
It's $24,000 right there. But...
Right. I mean, there'll be some cost savings there if we do most of it.
When do you say you need an answer pretty quick?
they'd like to go ahead and move forward and have the engineering, and then we can get dealing with FEMA, because by the time you get dealing with them, we're looking into next year possibly time.
Yeah, but we can start the bridge without the FEMA discussion.
Possibly.
Well, we have in the past. I know Lakeshore Drive went out. We went down there and did the project before we ever discussed anything with FEMA about
It's open back up now, though, right?
We got a temporary opened, yes, so we can get people through there. What we've done is we removed the damaged deck and filled in, and we'll have to just monitor it during flooding events.
Time-wise, Brandon, the way that I look at this, Mike, is way faster to do the box culvert, but to do the that's what I was looking to Randy for on the recommendation of it, is that if we want to do something that's more I don't know whether we're futuristic,
future proof,
then we would probably go with the
how much longer is the bridge over the culvert?
It takes a long time, because we were on that Pro Tem Cedar Creek job for I made several
even with
trips
the,
down there.
Even with the precast beams and everything?
It depends on the manpower I can put on it, and that's one of the problems we run into on that one, is I couldn't put enough people on it because we were trying to do our other normal work. If you can put the people you need on it and keep them on there constantly, it would move a little bit faster, but a lot of that you have to key into the rock to get it in there. And once you get the abutments, it goes fairly fast.
Well, so timeline-wise, how much longer is a bridge versus a culvert? If everything's smooth and even.
The culvert, you still have to key in and cut into rock to your head wall and toe wall to anchor them in there. You're not going to handle as much flow, and you're going to have more problems with debris because of the series of pier walls through there, so it's going to gather more trees and whatnot in it. So the current structure, most of that goes right over the top of it. And
what are you saying is you're going to go with the bridge?
Well, I'm asking.
I would prefer the bridge.
Not very long.
Well, the culvert, most of that's built precast and hauled in.
Right.
And but there's right of way that will have to be attained with either structure.
With either? Okay. Either.
I didn't show you profile of alignment, but basically, you got the profile alignment. It would have to move upstream slightly to make the curves and everything, to where you can get bigger vehicles, and that's
the time frame of the trailer. Project, Brandon, is not. Our concern is not the actual time of the project; it's the amount of time that the public will be shut down from the usage.
Well, but looking at this, is there a way to keep the old one while you're working on the new one?
Part of it, yes.
Have you seen this one?
No.
But there would come a time you would just have to totally shut it down.
Right.
If you're thinking the bridge structure is the way we want to go, let's just go ahead and move forward with it. There's a lot of cost savings here with us doing it. But we're not to that point yet. If we have to bid it out, we will later on. I get real concerned about the amount of time it takes to get one of these projects from start to finish.
All the materials and whatnot would have to be bid out as far as the precast and that part. The concrete that we have to use putting in place would not. We've already got that on a bid. We use this, that part, but precast steel.
It's less than that, isn't it?
Huh?
It's less than what they have on there. Because it's just an opinion of probable cause.
Opinion of probable cause.
See, our concrete, I think, is less than that, is it not?
And I'm looking for the concrete.
Second to last one, Class B1 concrete. It doesn't matter. I just...
Yeah, that would be...
Location-wise, where it's at and everything, it'd be less than 183, what you're looking at.
Yeah, ours is quite a bit cheaper.
Yeah.
Currently on bid, so...
Yeah. Anyway. If we're on your side, you want to move ahead with the bridge instead of the... That's the main question. Let's go ahead and move what?
Bridge.
Ahead with the bridge.
Okay.
That's fine. Do we need to proceed with, because it's a FEMA deal, do we have to go out for bid, or we have Great River under contract?
Great River can handle all that, but we'll have to produce all that paperwork and documentation and stuff for FEMA, and then they're going to negotiate that, and however much we get reimbursed from them would be up to them. So.
All right. Need that in the form of a motion to go bridge? And
not until we actually probably do that, I think.
Okay.
These next two bridge projects, I'll share with you some information here. And this
I would really prefer to have a work session a little bit later on, because this is going to play into budgeting also for next year. But I do have some estimated costs on two structures and two locations, one of them being Coon Creek and one of them being Round Mountain.
Is there going to be any easement issues on Coon Creek?
I know what you're saying.
They would, both projects will require additional right of way. Cost estimates I'm giving you is also same thing, opinion of probable, but it's contractor cost. That'd be the wrong one.
Yeah, I got it.
Now, both of these structures are based on 100-year flood events.
Both of these, like I say, both of these structures are based on 100-year flood events. These costs are based on bidding the entire project by contractor. Either project we could do under BRO, or one under BRO if possible, and do the other one ourselves, or parts of it. The Round Mountain, we're looking at a daily traffic. We went up and put counters on it recently, left the counters up there for 7 days. We'll have an average traffic from 71 to 102 in that area. Coon Creek, we're looking at 21 to 2,200 cars a day on Coon Creek. Both of them have school buses crossing. The Round Mountain structure, we've had a couple of rescues done in the past, one recently. People get hung up or trapped in the high water on that one. But one of them, the lady didn't get out, or the battery went dead and she couldn't get her car out. They were fine, but car got underwater before they got it out. So
I guess the main question we've got on the on these, Mike, Brandon, is do we want to spend our BRO funding, which we've had a great savings on one that covers 2,100 cars or one that covers less than 100 cars. And I think that's pretty easy to figure out, because we have a anything that happens on East 76, the Coon Creek intersection is used as a emergency or a detour or whatever. And if we have a right now, our bridge situation, the way it sets, even sits in alignment there, is not right. So
one thing I would like to do, there is a possibility, I'd like to invite Great River down, and I went up and visited with them last week and finished getting the information here. There is a possibility and a chance we can accomplish both of these, one done under BRO if state is fairly cooperative, and then the other one possibly do on our own with capital improvement money, but also apply for soft match, which will help us sell the soft match, and there is a possibility. But it would help if they kind of help explain the details behind it. It looked good, and that it plays into depending on how we want to budget for next year. So it'd be something to look at anyway.
Yeah, I don't think that we have our own personal staffing enough to do projects. We've got too many other things going on.
No, we wouldn't actually be doing them. We'd just be doing the road work, possibly, is the only part we would do in them.
Saying is both of them would be bid projects then.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't cost us very much because of the BRO and because of soft match.
The Round Mountain, we could probably reduce that by, if we could do the roadway, which you're looking at pretty extensive fill there in the roadway for that particular project, but that's something that we could do that would accomplish, you know, part of our matching funds there. And we could do roadway cheaper than a contractor can, but would still...
On this picture,
same thing with Coon Creek. I mean, the reason it's that kind of cost is because of the realignment and having to lengthen it out and two creeks merging right there and having to build a wall on that particular structure. So,
on that picture?
That shows a 100-year flood where the water would be.
Well, the bridge doesn't even go over all of it.
Well, the fill would take in. That's where the fill would take in and go up to Franklin.
Even on Franklin, on this back end, would Franklin be lifted up there as well?
No, just our roadway and then approach off. Franklin is the private road that goes in that property.
That goes down into the, okay.
Right.
But personally, I don't want to approach both these projects at the same time. I think that the amount of work that the county itself is going to be doing on both projects would be something I wouldn't want to tackle right at this point. If my figures are right, we have $600,000 that we have accumulated with our BRO funding. That is monies that were one-to-one match, and so on either one of these projects, it's a major amount of money that we can apply to the project and get it going and get it done.
Get it done.
And then look at the other one.
They would have to be staggered a little somewhat, yes.
I mean, how on the Coon Creek one, you do have not. I mean, you have another way to go. There's not a lot of people that live on Coon Creek, though. How is it on Round Mountain?
Round Mountain, this year happened similar to what in the past years when Bull Creek got that high, those people were trapped for a period of time. On up the road...
His question is, though, how many were trapped or how many people are affected, right?
Well, but and there's obviously more people affected on Coon Creek, but they have other routes. Do they have other routes on Round Mountain?
There is an alternate route, but you have to go all the way through Christian County to H Highway.
Okay.
And you have a way out. Now, there's about four families there on that road that once it gets over the second structure past there, it does, backwater will get over it. They have no way out then. Once Bull Creek runs down somewhat, then they...
I'm saying, how long is that usually? Usually the Coon Creek's closed for less than a half a day. I mean, I drive that one. I don't ever drive Round Mountain. That's why I don't know much about it.
Round Mountain, I've seen it impassable, the slab itself, for more than a week.
Whereas Coon Creek, since the... Because that one's been somewhat recently redone. Mm-hmm. How long is that now? Is it a half a day at the most?
For Round Mountain?
No, Coon Creek.
Coon Creek? We've seen it about a day at times, depending on the rain, how... I mean, it's... It'll get big, but it'll go down quick, but usually you're looking at a day or less.
One thing that I consider whenever we're talking about this is when I go down and look at Coon Creek on the lower side of that bridge as you go off of 76 when you turn up, that bridge there one of these days is going to have major construction issues. I mean, you can see rebar wherever you want to look there. And when it's taken out, there's no other place for us to go but to bring people through our Coon Creek deal. All the Lakeshore Drive traffic, everything that comes is going to have to go through Coon Creek. Pretty well, it goes to the south. If not, they'd have to come over and come this way and go around the
F-Highway. Go around the F-Highway and come back down, mm-hmm. 65.
So, and the structure that you're talking about on Coon Creek was recapping of what was already existing there. We had which one of those was it, 2008 or something, where it took the slid the whole top of the cap
off? Well, we had a complete undermine of the lower side, and it took most of the deck off. We repoured that and had that open, but we also added two more pipes to it at that time. So
both these
projects. They both need to be done. I understand.
Yeah, right.
Which one needs to be done first, I guess. Yeah. So.
I think that one of the costly matters on this Coon Creek project is the approach that we'll have to provide for the people that live down that. There's one house down in there on the lower side, and we'll probably have to take an approach off of above where the bridge goes to get it off there, not off the end of the bridge, because the way the bridge will go across, there'll have to be an approach.
Coming back down?
Somewhere in there. I don't know. But
the one right there on the creek?
Mm-hmm. You got to cross that. They've got a walk bridge across it to get to the house. Where you've ever been down there, it's a big two-story house, and you have to cross Coon Creek on a walk bridge to get to the house. Can't even get to the house by the vehicle. So let me get this right. You're wanting to have a rescheduling with Great River Engineering?
I would like to have a work session with Great River on both these projects to have them look a little more definite at the numbers to see which ones, or possibly both, may be doable. They would definitely have to be staggered somewhat.
Well, that's fine with me, because I think there's more discussion, more thought to be put into it, for sure. So reschedule that work session sometime whenever we can figure it out. The Bull Creek's such a long span to get it over across there. And right now there's actually a little pond or lake that's formed when a rig gets up that's totally on the other side of it, which wasn't there 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, that's happened over several flood events.
Yeah.
But this ain't the only one. These are the two that are kind of on the top of the list, but we have some more right behind them that we need to think about and look at too. So, okay. On the transfer station, the two new trailers have arrived. They're already in use, and they look good. The guys think they work good for them. We'll know more. I'll get a little feedback what David thinks of them. On the letter we got from DNR, we are currently working on trying to correct those problems. I have talked to them. I've also sent them emails of the trench drain that we plan to put across the doorway, and I'm going to call them again today to see if we can go ahead and move forward once their bid opens. We had to bid that particular item out. Also talked to them about what we're planning to do with the pole building down there so we don't have any issues with that as anything coming out of the trailers. Even though they're under roof, we still have problems there. And our plan is to pour a floor, put a drain, and put an additional tank there. So we'll get back in contact with them to where we can go ahead and move forward and try to get that done pretty quickly. So. As far as that, that's kind of where we're at. Otherwise, it's business as usual there. So,
that all you got?
That's pretty much all I got.
The we talked a little bit about traffic calming. Have you done any research on those? Found out anything?
I've looked at a couple of different things, and a lot of it pertains to, there's a couple of different birds. One's a speed bump, that, or they call them a speed hump, which would be more doable for in our road system rather than the speed bump. The speed bump is for more so anything below 5 miles per hour, try to keep people at that speed parking lot type. Speed hump is another version, or you do some alterations with your road to try to create islands and move
right,
them around that
not.
Way. And that's the only thing I've come up with as far as trying to calm the traffic down in straightaways to try to divert where they purposely have to slow down to go around an island, different type of things they could put there. Similar to cul-de-sac type turnarounds, that type of thing. So going around similar type, roundabout type things, where they have to slow down to go around it, that's the only thing I've come up with. The other, you can get pre-made type apparatus on the speed humps, they call them, which is fairly wide, and but it's something that you have to post signs up previous to and
then mark
install
the road.
And have to be marked and identified. And then some of the research I found, you have to do public meetings in different neighborhoods to see if that's feasible, make everybody aware of it and that type of thing. And so I've, different counties, different cities, that's the information I've read on them,
But those speed humps are for areas where it's 25 miles an hour, 35 mile an hour areas.
That or less.
Right.
I mean, they're trying to get the traffic down to more of a 15 mile per hour and keep it kind of in that range to 20 mile per hour where it has a lot of pedestrian traffic and that type of thing.
Or neighborhood. When the speed limit is 25 and they're going 70.
Well,
there's some issues.
Them areas, what they've done, they've done more of a alternate putting in the islands to make, that type of thing.
But that's not feasible with our roads.
And very expensive.
Right.
And numbers I've seen on that for cities that have done that, they're kind of expensive to do. So.
Yeah, to put in, like you said, islands and zigzag and stuff. But didn't you say there were some roads over here that were having the same issue? There's about four over on our side, five of them on our side.
We did a study back.
Pets have been killed. People have to jump out of the way of vehicles.
2006, 2007, we had the same issue, and I think the same roads were being discussed, along with the East 76 in front of the school. So they put up a, it wasn't a counter, it was more of a detection of time frame for 24 hours. And to show you how ridiculous some of those things are, there was four cars that went through past the Kerberville School after 5 o'clock in the afternoon doing more than 90 miles an hour. There was like 20, 30 cars that were doing above 70. So those type of studies probably would be something we'd look at, maybe try to get the cooperation of, is there any monies available through grants for such thing? I know Cassville, where their school laid alongside the road over there, they got some money to change that situation out and to have road improvements there. It's not anything like it used to be. So it might be something that we could look at. And the road humps is something that I hadn't heard about, which may be the way that we would could think about something. The speed bumps is...
Now, you can use speed bumps, but like on, is it Cliff Drive?
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Drive has two or three of them. Back in there behind, was it Hiawatha Heights?
The city, yeah, the city's put them in.
And make you slow down. But you don't have to, you don't come to a crawl. I mean, you go over a reasonable speed.
You definitely have to slow down or you're going to become airborne. I mean,
yeah. I mean, because I was doing all the studies, reading all the studies about how, and, you know, how much it slows down emergency vehicles. And I think it adds 3 seconds or 1.5 seconds or something. So if you had two in there, it'd add 3 seconds response time. I mean, there's a lot of studies that are out there on that have been done on these things. And everything's saying signs don't work. Is that what you found out? If you put a speed limit sign up, people are going to speed.
Our experience, we've had signs, numerous signs on different roads, and there's roads that are just, we've had this problem on several. Bird Road was another indication of straight stretch. There on Bird Road was another one that was pretty bad. And Forsyth Tannyville Road, we've had complaints on it. Casey Road, same thing.
So. I just don't want to come down to where somebody does get hit or killed, a little kid or something, just because, like you said, 90 miles an hour in front of a school on a pretty narrow road.
Yeah.
Should be going 90. So I think we need to quit talking about it and make some action on it. I don't know, because we had one group turn in a petition, had a bunch of signatures on it.
I would, I'd say probably check into those speed humps that they're talking about.
One thing I did read in there is advise a little bit of engineering for a layout of them to get them correct. So as far as getting them designed properly so we don't do any undue damage, but make sure we get them placed properly to have the right effect.
Are some of those rubber? I mean, they're like a pre-made...
Yeah. What I did find was a lot of them pre-made that they're easily to install, but they have to be installed correctly so it didn't affect the drainage or other things within the roadway.
Can you take them out? Like, so if we need to go through the snowplow or something, we can take them out?
I did find them in there. That's one thing I did find. You can make them permanent, or a lot of them were done in concrete, but they also made pre-made ones that you can put in place or remove. Speed humps were done the same way.
Okay.
Humps?
humps and bumps? I guess I'm not familiar.
Speed humps and speed bumps are the difference between them is the speed hump is fairly wide, fairly gradual taper. You know it's there, but it causes you to slow down. Where the speed bump, it's a more of abrupt.
Abrupt.
And
okay.
Yeah, speed humps are probably 12 foot wide.
You're
something like so that. So I'll go airborne on my Harley now.
No, were you doing going 90 miles an hour in front of Carol? So now we know who it was. And it wasn't a car, it was a Harley.
Yeah, that was the difference, you know. And they're used in a couple different fashions areas. So.
I got.
I'm good.
Do we have you upstairs at 11? Fun.
All right. I guess we're. Go on. We'll reconvene at 11 o'clock.
Take a recess until 11?
Recess till 11.